Amen. How's everybody doing? Just so you know, we are having church next Wednesday, in case there's any confusion about that. I think it's Halloween. My wife and I were arguing about that. And the kids were asking, you know, what are we going to do? What's going on? And I just said, well, I'm going to church. I'm going to worship the Lord. Y'all worship whoever you want. And then the girls said, Daddy, how did Halloween start? What is it? And I said, Halloween is the devil's birthday, honey. Okay, so if any kids are here, I'm just joking. All right, I'm just joking. But we are having church next Wednesday night, so come out and be a part of that. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Oh, I just wanted to skip this one. Seriously, how difficult is mercy for us? And it's both ways that it's difficult. It's not just difficult to be merciful, but it's difficult to receive mercy too, isn't it? It's hard. And so when Jesus says this, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, to me this just screams out at the church. And so I was reading several things about this particular beatitude because I felt pretty much armless in my arsenal about being merciful, because it just seems so difficult. All the things that I read today, listened to a few sermons about it, were, you know, to me, really missed the point of what's happening here, because you can almost read it and really take from what Jesus says that if you show mercy, then you'll get mercy. But that can't be right, because God's mercy to us is a gift. I thought there'd be a lot more amens there. God, well, hang on, just settle down. It'll be all right, honey. All right. It's His mercy can't be earned. It's a gift. I mean, the Bible's clear about that. So Jesus cannot mean here that if you'll be merciful, then you'll get mercy. Because you can't earn it. And so as I thought about it all day today, I remember Victor Hugo wrote about this. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Victor Hugo. And maybe you've seen the play or you listen to the music of Les Mis. And you remember the character Jean Valjean and how, man, for, you know, basically the latter two-thirds of the play, he's just this incredibly merciful person. And he meets a woman of ill repute, and she everything about her, society wants nothing to do with her, but he really takes her under his wing, and he shows her such grace and mercy, so much so that even after she dies, he raises her child. It's such a powerful story of what it means to be merciful. But the latter two-thirds mean nothing if you don't understand what happens in the beginning. And some of you who've seen it or are familiar with it may remember the beginning. Jean Valjean, basically he meets the Bishop of Digne. And the bishop invites him in for dinner. Jean Valjean is homeless. He has no place to go. He's hungry. And the bishop feeds him and invites him to stay the night. And in the middle of the night, Jean Valjean gets up and he starts stealing the spoons and the forks, the silver that was in the house. And the bishop gets up in the middle of the night and he says, Jean Valjean, what are you doing? And you may remember, he just punches him. This is an elderly man. He just punches him and he leaves. Well, the next day, the police escort Jean Valjean back to the house of the bishop. And he said, sir, he has this silver. We believe that it's yours. You know, what's the story here? And the bishop looks at him and says, Jean Valjean, I am so surprised. I'm so disappointed. You take the forks and the spoons, but you totally forget the candelabras. And he grabs them up. And he puts him in Jean Valjean's sack. And of course, Jean Valjean is like, the guy's on crack, right? He's like, what is happening here? This has got to be worse than I could ever imagine. And the bishop sends him on his way. But not before he tells him, whatever you thought you were, go and be something completely different. And Jean Valjean never forgets that act of mercy towards him. And what it did is it enabled him. He always remembered that, and it enabled him to be merciful because of that mercy that he had received. Well, I felt like Victor Hugo nailed it. That's what it is. And so when Jesus says it, obviously Jesus said it way before Victor Hugo wrote it. And you have to believe that there was some kind of influence that was there. But when Jesus says it, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus is speaking not just to the disciples, but he's speaking to us today. And it's such a powerful word, because the truth is, if you've never heard the story of Jean Valjean and you've just heard it tonight, you know, even with my inability to tell the story in a powerfully inspiring way, you've had to think, wow, that is really cool. And I saw a lot of you were just nodding your head because you know, you've seen it, you've read it, and you're like, yes, wow, that's incredible. And however great that is, it comes nowhere near the mercy that we've been shown by Jesus himself, that he's forgiven our sin. You know, because I didn't know if I was going to tell the story of Jean Valjean, because, you know, most of us think, wow, that's a great story. But somewhere in our mind, we're thinking, I'm glad I'm not like Jean Valjean. I am not a thief. Or to think that, you know, he was really, I'm in need of a little mercy. He was in need of a lot. But the truth is, this room tonight is filled with murderers and adulterers. Did y'all know that? Some of you are like, what? I didn't know it. Is this a special service? Yes, for you. And I know, even when I say that, and you say that in church, and everybody knows when that's said, you're supposed to be like, yes, that's right. But most of us don't believe it. I mean, after all, it was Jesus who said, you have heard, it was written, you've heard it said that that you shall not kill. That's pretty tough, right? But for, not all of us, but for most of us in here, we've managed to miss that one, haven't we? So it's good. It's like, yes, I've never killed anybody. I'm doing good. And Jesus said, but I tell you the truth. If you've had hate in your heart, you're guilty of murder. So how many murderers are here tonight? Look, everybody was like, is anybody else raising their hand? Am I? Gosh, I'm the only one. Yeah, and then there's, you know, then there's a whole thing about adultery. I mean, come on, now that one, you know, that's tough. I mean, you can kind of say, okay, you know, in some kind of a way, I'm a metaphorical murderer. But he said, you know, it's been written, you know, that thou shalt not commit adultery. And so not everyone, but a lot of us might say, okay, that's tough. Managed to be faithful. And Jesus said, but I tell you the truth, if you've ever lusted, you're an adulterer. How many adulterers are here tonight? Yeah, that one usually doesn't get as many takers. Because I imagine if Jesus was here, he'd say, and then I say, the rest of you are liars. You know? And so that's the essence really of who we are. And yet, And I prayed that passage in Romans, that God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the disillusionment with church in modern culture is that many, many churches kind of operate on a, hey, clean yourself up and then come. Now, no church ever says that, right? I mean, that'd be horrible if you said it. But it's no less horrible to practice it. And a lot of us have in our minds that we need to clean ourselves up. Now, you know, one of my favorite things to do here is the baptism ministry. And I'm going to tell you, it's a conversation we have almost weekly. That somebody knows they've been saved, but they've never been baptized. And I talk to them about baptism and how important it is. And they all say, oh, yes. And they believe everything I'm saying about it. And I say, so when would you like to do it? And they say, well, not just yet. And I always ask them, okay, so you believed everything I said. So what's the holdup? Well, few issues in my life that I need to get straightened out before I do it. As if when they get those issues straightened out, now they're worthy of baptism on some kind of moral level. You know, and we always blow them away. I always tell them, listen, if I was waiting to deal with a few issues in my life, and I don't know if there's a few, but there's probably more than that. But if I was waiting till I resolved those issues, I still would not be baptized today. I wouldn't, because the gospel isn't clean yourself up and then come. I mean, the gospel is literally come as you are. Now, we've heard that a lot. I like that, but I think there's an add-on to that. Come as you are with a willingness to be changed. And when that change, when that transformation takes place, that is mercy. That is God's mercy. And so then there's this call to us who have received such unbelievable mercy that we would go and we would be merciful. That's what we should do. We should be merciful. I mean, we should be a merciful people. It ought to be one of the characteristics that those we work with, those we live with, might use to describe us, that we are merciful. But all the things I've read, all the things I listened to today, I just think we are missing the boat on being a merciful people. That even though this unbelievable act of mercy has been done in our lives, why is mercy so difficult? Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Why is it so hard for us? Why is that so difficult? I remember we took a group of kids when I lived in Danville, Kentucky. We took a group of kids to see the Cincinnati Reds. And there was this one boy in the group, and, you know, and part of me didn't even really want to take him to begin with. I mean, this kid, he was a handful. I mean, he was difficult. And I was the youth pastor, and so we made the trip. I let the kid go, but on the way there, I just had kind of resolved in my mind, he steps out of line one time, I'm going to squash him like a bug. I had a horrible attitude about it. I didn't want to put up with him. He didn't listen. He didn't do what I told him to do, which made me feel like I was married to him. And I just had a bad attitude about it. And honestly, you know, these many years looking back, he's a sweet kid. And if I'd grown up the way he grew up, I would have been difficult too. And God just broke my heart. We get to the Cincinnati Reds Stadium, and we're walking, you know, how you're like walking in the tunnels and all that, trying to get to where you're going. And we go up the steps, and you get to that place where there's the field, and there are the players. And this kid, oh, if I could have recorded his reaction to that. He had never seen anything like that in his life. And we're leaving. It's the Reds. They stink, right? And I love the Reds, so don't be. You know, what? I've been to all kinds of Reds games. I grew up 30 minutes from the stadium. I've been there all kinds of times. And this kid, and as we're leaving, he says to me, "This was the best day of my life." And the Lord just humbled me. That we've got to be merciful. I knew a little bit of that kid's life, but I didn't know everything. You know, and I probably didn't even know the worst of that kid's life. And he was difficult, and he didn't always listen. I mean, I was scared to death that day that I was going to have to go on the field and get him, right? He's going to jump the rail and be on the field with the Reds, and then me and him would be in jail, right? I just had such a bad attitude about it. As we're leaving, he says, "This was the best day of my life." Now, what was great about that? You know, the church paid for most of these kids to go to the game. You know, and there were some people in the church that felt like that was a bad use of the church's money. You know, we could have taken them to a conference. You know, because I found out you can take 100 kids of the Reds game and 3 to a conference, right? And those 3 are court ordered to be there for it. But it was such a merciful thing in this kid's life. And let me tell you something about mercy. So let's really understand mercy. I mean, the whole idea of mercy is basically, it's much like grace in that you don't get what you really deserve. This kid should have not been allowed to go to the Reds game. I mean, he's always in trouble the whole time I'm preaching. While most people are spellbound, you know, this kid's talking and he's disrupting. You know, and I'm preaching the word of God, and he's out there and he's whistling and he's making faces at me. You know, he shouldn't have been able to go to the Reds game. And part of me thought, you know, that if he tries to sign up, I'm just going to let him have it. You're going to listen to me preach if you want to go see the Reds, right? And he wanted to go. I didn't want him to go. He said, "Can I go?" And he's coming to ask because, you know, a lot of the kids in youth group didn't ask if they could go because they had the money. It was their right to go. Those are the kids I should have been disgusted with, you know, that can't appreciate anything, no gratitude. But this kid comes and says, "Can I go? Can I go to the Reds game?" And I wanted to tell him no so bad. No. All those times you were talking, you weren't listening. No. I said, I just looked at him and I said, I'll see if I can work it out. You know, because it was just hard for me to say, "Yes, you can go." I know you're all thinking, "Gosh, I just thought he was a jerk." He really is. But y'all, if y'all just knew the kid, seriously. And you know, the Lord just humbled me, and it made me think today about the opportunities I've had to be merciful, and I haven't been. That God, because let me tell you, when you're in a position to be merciful, because this is what I want us to understand about this. When you are in a position to be merciful to someone, it is not coincidence. It's not by chance. God has put you in that position to be merciful. You're not there by accident. And listen, and this is hard because I'm already kind of thinking about the emails that I'll get about this, right? Because anytime one of my kids gets in trouble, inevitably, it's usually Allie, the youngest, will come to me. And, of course, I'm in my recliner with my cookies and my milk. And she'll come and she'll say, if it's Molly that's in trouble, Allie will come and she'll say, "Daddy, can Molly have grace?" And I'm thinking, she smacked you. That's why she's in trouble. But it's little Allie saying, can she have grace? Now, here's the thing. Can Molly always have grace? Y'all are like, I don't know. Did you have children or do you just... No, they don't always get grace. Sometimes they do get what they deserve. That helps to teach the lesson. Sometimes that can be mercy, right? It's like you don't do it all the time. But there are those times where there's mercy. And there I am as the youth pastor at First Baptist Church Danville. And there's this kid who wants to go see the Reds play. And listen, I was there because God put me there. That's why I was there. And I was in a position to show this kid mercy. And anytime you're in that position, it's because God has put you there to show mercy. And what we should always understand about that is in the backdrop of our lives is the incredible mercy that God has shown us. You may remember Jesus tells a story. It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. How many of you have heard that parable? The parable of the Good Samaritan. So almost all of us have heard it. And it's this powerful story. And obviously, it's a story that Jesus makes up. He's telling the story. It's not based on real events that took place where Jesus is recounting a story. Jesus is telling a parable. And he makes up the story. And what is interesting is that although Jesus is making up the story, the characters that Jesus chooses to be a part of the story. Because Jesus doesn't say that, you know, this guy got beat up, he's on the side of the road, and then a thief comes and the thief just passes him by. Because that's what we would expect of a thief, right? And Jesus doesn't throw in the story that, and then this murderer came by and he saw the guy on the side of the road and he passes him up. Because I think that's what we would expect of a murderer. But the way Jesus tells the story is that basically, I mean, just to really to break it down, it's like Jesus is saying it's church people that are passing the guy. And it ends with like basically a pastor passes the guy by. And that surprises us some. That surprises us that they would pass him by, that they wouldn't stop. And as I was thinking about this story and how it relates, you know, to what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I think that sometimes our greatest obstacle to showing mercy is just religion ruling our lives. And without our lives being ruled by Jesus. That we're just about religion. And that somehow that is what's important to us. And when that's what's important to us, then there's an obstacle preventing us from stopping to help somebody, to show mercy to somebody. But it's so important because this is what it's about. It's Jean Valjean. That all of us have been shown this unbelievable mercy in our lives. And now God is saying, so this mercy you've received, now I want you to go from here and be merciful. Be merciful. Have mercy for other people. And this idea of mercy is that maybe other people deserve something other than what we would give them. That we would be merciful. That we would show mercy. Because I doubt that for those of you here who have a relationship with Jesus, you've been saved. And there's been that unbelievable moment of mercy in your life through salvation. Probably every one of us have countless other stories of how we've received mercy as well. Somebody who was merciful to us. Because listen, with this kid in Danville, Kentucky, listen, you know, yeah, I took him to the game and I think maybe I blew that opportunity. Because even though I took the kid to the game, I had a bad attitude about it. And I don't know that he would ever recognize, you know, what I did as mercy. Because I had such a bad attitude about it. Because if you think you're doing something merciful and you have a bad attitude about it, you've sucked all the mercy out of it. It's not there. It's not present. Because mercy is deeper than the acts that we do. That mercy comes from the heart. God is calling us to be a merciful people. People who are willing to show the mercy, because there's an assumption made about this mercy, that it's already present, that it's already there. So we're to be merciful. You know, we're going to have a time of altar, and you know, probably every one of us could come to this altar tonight and just confess that we just haven't been merciful. That God's brought people into our lives, and God's sole purpose for some of these people is that we would be merciful. And God's brought them into our lives so that they can begin to have some understanding of mercy. And I believe that God's ultimate intent is that as they experience that mercy on a human level and human relationships, they can begin to understand mercy on a spiritual level. That even though they've messed up and even though they've done things that are wrong, and mercy is given to them, they begin to understand God's mercy in a greater way. And that's why if there's anything I want you to remember tonight, it's what I said earlier, that anytime you're in a position to give mercy, it's God who's put you in that position. He's put you there. And his expectation for us is that we would be merciful. In the same way that he was merciful towards us. And that's why it's so powerful. It's why I love Romans when Paul says that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what's the deal? He showed us mercy when we didn't even want it. When we weren't even looking for it, he showed us mercy. His mercy didn't wait for us. His mercy came to us. And it's powerful because if you're thinking of a situation tonight where you're waiting for somebody to come and apologize to you, somebody to come crawling and pleading, right? If that's what you want, what you expect, and they do that and you say, okay, I forgive you, that's not mercy. Because mercy came looking for us. And that's how God expects us to be merciful. So I want us to pray about it, to be a merciful people. Because I'm going to tell you, if Christians were like that, y'all would have to get here at 5 o'clock to get a seat. Because everybody would want to be here. Everybody would want to be a part of that. And so we're called to be merciful. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we come reflecting on the mercy that you showed us. And Lord, I would say most of us, the way we remember it, is that mercy came as a shock and a surprise to us. We weren't looking for it. Maybe we'd even given up on any hope of mercy, but then you came to us. And Lord, as you came to us and you saved us, then you have called us to likewise be merciful and to show mercy to others. And Lord, I know a lot of us, we have failed miserably to be merciful the way that you've called us to. And so Lord, tonight, hear our hearts. Pierce our hearts. Lord, help us to understand that even in those difficult moments, Lord, you've put us in a position to be merciful. And your expectation is that that's what we would be. And so for a sermon like this, Lord, it can't end with just an exhortation to go and be merciful, because it's got to come from our hearts. And so, Lord, our prayer has to be, change our hearts. Lord, that we would, in the same way we desire mercy, that we would desire to be merciful. That we would look for opportunities to show mercy. So speak to us, Father. Speak powerful things to us tonight. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see. Open our ears so that we can hear. And Lord, we bring to you tonight at this altar those difficult moments, those difficult people, because we know what you've called us to. May we be faithful. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come. You know, it's like an altar of confession tonight. Just to come and say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart, Lord, that I would desire to be merciful. So let me invite you to come. The altar's open.